Matthew chapter 5. The message today is the enemies of God. You remember last time I told you about friends. So today we're going to consider something about the enemies of God. And you'll see how it refers to friends also. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So many take this verse, love your enemies, pray for them that persecute you, and they misunderstand it, because please notice, indeed, love your enemies. But turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And look at verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I put thine enemies underneath thy feet. So, here is a different resolve about enemies. Love your enemies, but please notice that in the coming day, God says, I'm going to put your enemies underneath your feet. And now, let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 19, because I want you to see these things from the scriptures, or we might not believe them. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, trade ye till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent an ambassage after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Now look at verse 27. But these mine enemies, that would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, let's look at John 13. I want to read several of these scriptures, and then perhaps I want to make you turn to other portions later on. John 13, and look at verse 18. The Savior, in distinguishing between 11 of the apostles and Judas, said in verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth my bread lifted up his heel against me. Now chapter 15, chapter 15, verse 25. The Savior has said that the Jews have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And now let's look at one reference in Romans. One reference in Romans, and then we shall put it all together in the will of God a little later. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And look at one more verse in chapter 8, Romans 8, and look at verse 6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the things that you tell us in the Scriptures. Some of them we expect to find there, and others, our God, we would not expect to find there. We've read both today, and by the illumination of thy Spirit, we pray to understand them, that we might have a balanced interpretation of the Word of God. Father, thou art love, but at the same time, have not the seraphim in heaven cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Thou art love, and thou art holy, and thou art righteous. So let us understand that to be the perfect God that you are, there must be the dealing with the children of men, the way that you set it forth in the Scriptures. So help us to understand the way that you, the judge of all the earth, judge men. We thank you for health and strength that we are here, our God, for every blessing bestowed upon us in this past week, and we look to thee for good in the coming week. And now we look to thee especially for help. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Scriptures I read to you tell us about enemies of God. That's such a strange thing. And then it tells us about enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another strange thing. Have you heard the saying, why, he doesn't have an enemy in the world? If such a thing is spoken truthfully, and a man doesn't have an enemy in the world, he's a certain kind of man. And that kind of man is he is a gentle, tolerant, easygoing, unruffled. That's the kind of man he is. But he's not a man like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because instead of saying, as it should be, that Jesus doesn't have an enemy in the world, you find in the Scriptures that Jesus has a world of enemies. And I'll tell you why. Because he told us why. He said in John chapter 7, he said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of its deeds that they are evil. Show me any man who will testify of the world that its deeds are evil, and you will not be able to say concerning him, he doesn't have an enemy in the world. Who is the one that has more enemies than anyone else in the world? The Lord Jesus. Because I'm going to show you that whereas it seems as if certain individuals are friends of the Lord Jesus and of God, when a crisis arises, they turn out to be not his friends, but his enemies. Judas Iscariot is one. but you would never know that he would be in a group of those called the enemies of God and his son. That's one you would expect to be among the enemies of God. And that is in Matthew chapter 13, when the Savior speaks a parable about a sower that went and sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares in the field. And his followers see it when the tares grow up and develop, and they say, "Did you not sow good seed in your field? Whence then are the tares?" And these are the words of the Savior. He says, "An enemy hath done this." So Christ points out some of his enemies. And he says, "An enemy hath done this." And when he interprets the parable, he says, the enemy is the devil. The evil one, the wicked one, is the devil. And he says, he is the enemy. Well, who would expect that? Who is going to say that Satan is a friend of God? Satan is an enemy of God. But we have to go beyond that to see, as it says in 2 Corinthians 11, that Satan is one who transforms himself into an angel of light. And so you are looking at a transformation of an evil one into an angel of light. And it says, it's no great thing if his ministers also do the same. What does this mean? It's a terrible thought that here is Satan, and he comes as an angel of light, and here are all his representatives, every minister in Goldsboro that does not preach the truth of God's word and accept the Lord Jesus as the Son of the living God. The scripture says he is a minister of Satan. And so it's not the clothing that he wears that would distinguish him from others who are not preachers of the word of God. And it is not that he is with a group that originally, if you read their bylaws, they believed in the truth of God. But now, what their founders believed in is not what they believe in today. And so it is, as the Savior said, by your words shall you be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. And ask every minister in Goldsboro, what think ye of Christ? And if they say, from my heart I tell you that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of the living God, he is my Lord and my Savior, I say, thank God. That is a minister of light. That is a true child of God. But if he says Jesus was a good man, Jesus was a teacher of good things, Jesus was a loving Savior, and he would never do harm to any man, that is a minister of Satan, and I want you to understand that he is an enemy of God. And yet, he comes, as it speaks in the book of Revelation, you have one that comes in sheep's clothing, but he speaks like a dragon. And so you listen to a man, and the crucial question is this, what think ye of Christ? If they say the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, he is the Savior of the world, his precious blood cleanses from all sin, and he says that from his heart, then he is a friend of God, servant of God. And if he denies any of these things, he is an enemy of God, whether we like it or not. So, when you see a man in outward clothing that says, I am a representative of God, I am a preacher of the Bible, and he answers the question contrary to what is contained in that Bible, then he is an enemy of God. You must remember that. So, we would expect that, but certainly, among Christ's 12 apostles, he would say, all of them are friends of God. Not one could be an enemy of God among them. But there was one who was an enemy, and his being an enemy was concealed until the very last, and not even John, the beloved apostle, knew who he was. Nothing is mentioned in Scripture that there was ever a hint given that any of his fellow apostles had him figured out as being a representative of Satan. But finally, at the Last Supper, when the Savior said, "Verily, one of you shall betray me," Peter looked over at John, the beloved apostle, and said, "Ask him who it is." You see, nobody knew. And he said, "One of you shall betray me." You would think every one of them would say, "Judas." Not one of them. They said, "Is it I?" And then Judas said, "Is it I?" And the Lord Jesus said, "The one to whom I dip the sop and give it him, that is the one." And he dipped the sop and gave it to Judas. And it says, Satan entered into him, and he went out, and it was night. So some, you think, are servants of God and friends of God. They are secretly enemies of God. And listen to this. This is what Paul says concerning preachers that deny the truth contained, that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. This is how Paul puts it. He says, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And if when you say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness of sin, when you speak of the precious blood of Christ, it cleanses from all sin, and men deny it and say, do not give me that gospel of gore, of blood, that's something that is repulsive to me. Then Paul says, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ is where he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. It's where he shed his blood, and they are enemies of the cross. And so anyone who hears the true gospel preached and they reject that gospel, then they're enemies of the gospel. And if they're enemies of the cross, then they're enemies of God. That is what you're to understand. No matter what they may appear to be and what they say. I remember so many years ago, there was a young man who came and I was counseling him, and he wanted to know the certainty of salvation. And I told him that salvation was in the precious blood of Christ, and showed him scripture after scripture after scripture. And he went back to where he had been attending and was talking these things over with his pastor, and his pastor absolutely rejected him. And he said, but the scripture says, sir, that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And he understood that this man that had been his teacher from his youth was not a friend of the Lord, but he was an enemy of God. And that is a sad thing. So often you can tell a spirit that is in harmony with your spirit when you talk of the Savior and tell that he was the beloved of the Father, that he came into the world to save sinners, and he died on the cross, and their eyes light up and they smile and rejoice and say yes, then you know that that man is not an enemy of God, but a friend of God. And I will tell you this, lest you think that anybody that doesn't come here is an enemy of God. That's wrong. Some people would. Do you realize that some say, I was born a Baptist or a Methodist, and I shall die a Baptist or a Methodist, and in heaven I shall be a Baptist or a Methodist. Little do they know that all of those distinctions are going to be gone. But some of them are set in their ways, and so you say, well, they are enemies of God. They couldn't be friends of God. I want you to understand that our Savior is more tolerant and more understanding than we are. Because John, when he was looking at a man in the name of Christ casting out demons, he took it upon himself to go up and say to that man, do this no more. You are not a follower of us. And then, proud of what he had done, he went back and told the Savior, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And the Savior said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is with us. And so any person who may add Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian, if they are not against Christ, the Savior says, they are for us. There's something wrong when here is Christ, and a man that's working for the Lord is not following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something wrong there. But the Savior says, if he's doing a work in my name, he is not against us, he is for us. And so understand this tolerance. But understand that one that supposedly stands for being a friend of Christ, but he does not preach the true gospel of the grace of God, no matter what his reputation is, and I say this is shame, that some ask for literature by the prominent preachers that you know on television and in the world, and I would refuse to give them that literature because they are not the friends of God, but they are the enemies of God. So understand that. Now, here is something that is so startling. One that in the midst of worshiping God is found out to be an enemy of God and an agent of the devil. In the very first chapter of the Bible, where you have men giving something to God, you have two brothers. You have Cain and you have Abel. And Abel offers God the firstling of his flock, a lamb, and he gives it to God, and God is delighted. And there is another one, his brother Cain, that is worshiping God, and he brings him a present and sets before him. And God says, that is not a gift that is worthy of me. Now, I want you to change it, and I want you to bring back a gift that is acceptable to me, and I will receive it, and I will receive you. And Cain absolutely refused to change the gift that he gave to God. But I thought he loved God. He's worshiping God. And not only did he not love God, and not only was he not a true worshiper, but he spoke to his brother Abel and said, come with me to the field. And he rose up against him and killed his brother. Now, would you not think that a person that is in the act of worshiping God is a friend of God? But he was an enemy of God and an agent of the devil. And I find it clearly told us in 1 John chapter 3. It says, let us love one another, for love is of God. Not as Cain, who was of Satan, who was of the wicked one, the evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his brother's works were righteous, and his works were evil. How can that be? Cain was offering God a gift. But God says his works were evil, and he was motivated and inspired by Satan. And so that is why I tell you, you must be careful who you know a friend of God and who you know an enemy of God. And it makes no difference if he is with the most elaborate ceremony offering something to God, worshiping God. That is not the thing that determines what he is. But it's when God looks upon the gift that he offers and says, not acceptable, not acceptable. And why do you think that when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that you think that we are able to go into the holiest of all? It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that you think we confess there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved? And the Lord Jesus is the one who entered heaven by his own blood, and because of him we have access to the Father. And if one believes that, then his motivation is that of God. Any other motivation is that of Satan. And so the Savior is the determining point. It doesn't matter what the outward appearance is, it is what the reality is. Now, here is what I want to bring to your attention. So many people see that verse that I read to you in Matthew 5. Love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. And so we say, well then, we have to be friends, we have to be intimate, we have to show love, and these ones that the Savior says, love your enemies, why, God would never do anything to them. And so that means that God is love, and that all those that are his enemies, even though they are his enemies, they are going to be shown love, and eventually every one of them will be in heaven, because Jesus said to love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. Why do you think I read to you the other part in Matthew 22 and Luke 19? It says, love your enemies, yes. But I want you to understand that in the coming day, those that were enemies are going to be looked upon to see if they are still enemies. Understand that. They are enemies now. You're to love them. You're to take the gospel of the grace of God to them and seek to win them before the time comes when, having been enemies of God, they have continued their whole life long as enemies of God, and the end comes. And if being enemies, they have remained enemies, this is what Christ is going to say. Bring those that would not have me to rule over them. Bring my enemies and slay them in my sight. You did not know that the Lord Jesus said that, did you? Some would say, I will not accept it. The same Savior that said, love your enemies, he said, if they remain my enemies, then they will be slain in my sight at the last day. Now, you understand that there was a balance between a God who is love and a God who is righteous and holy, and God cannot tolerate sin. And I've shown you from the Scripture, this is what the Father says to his Son, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And so what's going to happen to the enemies of Christ that remain enemies of Christ? God says they will be the footstool of thy feet. And there is inevitable judgment for the enemies of God that remain enemies of God. That is why I read to you in Romans. Listen to this. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it speaks this way. It says, for if, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That explains it all. Understand, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, we were saved, we were born again, we were justified. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, then after that, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so, this is the teaching of the Word of God, that God will receive any sinner that comes and smites upon his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And whether the world acknowledges it or not, you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, as David said, and you're an enemy of God your whole life long until the time comes when Christ is presented to you. And the challenge, be reconciled to God, is accepted. And when you are reconciled to God, then the Scripture says, whereas you were enemies of God, now you become his friend. This is what it says in Colossians 1. You, being enemies of God, in your mind and in your evil works, yet now you are brought nigh to God through the precious blood of Christ. You see, in the past, we were alienated from God. We were strangers. We had no part in the covenants of God, the promises of God. But it says, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, you are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So, this is the good news, that even though the world is filled with the enemies of God, it makes no difference how moral, how friendly, how kind they are, they're enemies of God. And so what time they are reconciled to God. And this is what the world will not accept. If you go and tell, you're a fine fella, you're a good fella, you get to the poor, you're engaged in altruistic endeavors, that is fine. There's no doubt that you're accepted in God's sight. You will never be cast out. Understand that until that man receives the Lord Jesus as Savior, doing all his good works, he is an enemy of God in his mind, in his evil works. Let me tell you an example. A friend told me so many years ago that those with whom he worked, he constantly made it a point to witness to them. And an occurrence, something like this happened. He was witnessing to this man, telling them about the love of God, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man was talking to him and somehow telling him about how good he was and how much he loved, and he was kind to his fellow man. And Mr. Powell witnessed to him and said, "Why, don't you understand that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags?" And the man picked up a hammer and he said, "I will knock you in the head with this hammer for telling me that my righteousnesses are as filthy rags." "I see. What happened to that man that was telling about all his goodness and his kindness and his love of man? Listen to what Christ said. He said, "The world cannot hate you until you start preaching the way Christ does. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." And you go to all of these supposed Christians in Goldsboro, anywhere in the world, and tell them, "Do you not understand that all your righteousnesses are filthy rags, that you are dead in trespasses and in sins?" And if their heart did what it wanted to do, if it manifested its true condition, they would want to pick up a hammer and slay you. Why? What did Cain do to Abel? He said he murdered him. And what did the world, the religious world, do to the Lord Jesus Christ? They murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the enemies of Christ and his cross are the enemies of God. And the Lord Jesus tells us what ultimately shall happen to his enemies. And I want you to understand this. It says concerning the enemy that did this, Satan, who is the arch enemy of God. It says in the coming day, it says he's going to be laid hold on and first cast into the bottomless pit. And then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And the word spoken by Christ, "Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Then you'll find that all the enemies of God that have remained the enemies of God, and Satan, the arch enemy of God, shall be cast into that lake of fire. Behold the goodness and severity of God. Enemies today, yes, but by faith in Christ, we can become friends of God. But if we remain enemies, our Savior will say, "Bring those my enemies who would not have me to reign over them, and slay them before my eyes." Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful that you are one who is like unto those that you teach to be reconciled to our enemies. We're thankful that though we were enemies in our minds and in our evil works, yet you were willing to receive us back because of what your Son did for us on the cross. We're so thankful that those who were enemies can become friends, friends of God and of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful that you have shown us, Father, that you are not just a God of love and that all shall eventually be well for all mankind, no matter what they do with your Son, but you have shown us from the Scriptures plainly what shall happen to those that are enemies and remain enemies. We are thankful, our God, that this day those who are enemies can be reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And so let this be true of us all. We thank you for your grace toward us who have received Christ, that we who once were far are now made nigh, and you shall be our friends forever. So for your goodness and your severity, receive our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.